Beloved, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, we have the epistle of St. James today, and also we had it last Sunday. And over the years, I've come to become more and more familiar with the epistle of St. James, and I wish the same for you. And one way to summarize the epistle of St. James is that it's not enough to say, or rather, it's not enough to listen. It's not even enough to talk. One must also do the will of God. That theme recurs throughout the whole epistle. To put it in modern day expression, it's not enough to talk the talk. We must also walk the walk. St. James puts it very clearly, be doers, do it. Don't just listen. You deceive yourself if you just listen. Or even talk about it. We must do the good. He who has looked into the perfect law of liberty and has remained in it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, he shall be blessed in his deed. And then he goes into a specific, and this recurs regularly in St. James' epistle, bridle the tongue. He even goes so far as to say, if we never offend with the tongue, we're perfect. You're a saint if you never offend in speech. And he gives analogies of the power of the tongue to do great good and great evil. And he says here, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, not restraining his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, that man's religion is vain. Zip the lips. It's easy, in other words, to commit sins of the tongue. Think of all these possibilities, unfortunate possibilities. Uncharitable speech, tearing down other people. Worse yet, revealing hidden sins just for the sake of gossip. Bad words. There are many bad words out there. Are you falling into that? Not restraining your tongue, telling lies. It's so easy to tell those white lies, something that will give us an advantage, something that will make us look a little better. So how right St. James is in telling us to restrain the tongue, and there is great virtue in that. Words of anger, taking God's name in vain. Again, all of the sins of the tongue. It's interesting to find that Martin Luther, abhorred the epistle of St. James. Like, who does he think he is that he can say, I don't like that part of what's in the Bible? And he would have excluded it from the Bible if he could have gotten away with it. He dared to even call it an epistle of straw. Those are not the words of a reformer. Those are the words of a revolutionary heretic. Remember, one of his main points was, Faith, you are saved by faith alone. That goes directly against the Bible. Nowhere does it say we are saved by faith alone. So Paul says in his epistle to the Romans, we are saved by faith, but Martin Luther inserted alone. Again, who did he think he was to improve on the revealed word of God? Actually, there is one place where it says we are saved not by faith alone. It's the epistle of St. James. Remember this verse. It's chapter 2, verse 24. St. James says, you see then, my brethren, a man is saved by works and not by faith alone. So, Epistle of St. James, chapter 2, verse 24. File it away. Keep it for reference. If you ever hear somebody say, we're saved by faith alone, it goes against common sense. And again, it's just saying, all I have to do to save my soul is talk the talk. No. We have to walk the walk. We have to do the will of God. Our Lord himself said, I forget where in the Gospels, a man, not those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. Those who keep the Ten Commandments, those who live the teachings of Christ, those who strive for holiness, those will be saved. St. James gives us another example of doing. Religion pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their tribulation and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. So he's emphasizing charity, and in his time there were many more orphans and widows than I believe there are today, but there are definitely still orphans and widows. Again, we have to put our faith into practice. It has to be lived, not just talked about. The works of charity. I used this example recently, but you know, when we stand in judgment before God, God will not ask us if we had the nicest car or the nicest house or the latest model or how many horsepower, how fast could your car go. Those things won't matter in eternity. But what he will ask is, did you use your car? Did you use your resources to do the works of charity? Give people rides who need that assistance. That's what God will ask, because again, that is living our faith, doing those works of faith and charity, fulfilling our daily duty. Keep oneself unspotted from this world. Here again, we are reminded that the world is not our friend, not the physical world that God created. That's good. But the spirit of the world is our enemy. You have to keep yourself untainted by the world. So I talked about this last Sunday, not letting the dust of the world settle more and more upon us. We have to regularly brush it off so that we are keeping unspotted from the world. One of the most condemning things about Vatican II is the emphasis that came up over and over again about going out and engaging the world. And that can be taken in a good way, but it can also be taken in a wrong way. Insofar as going out and spreading the gospel, yes. But too much just trying to get along with the world, you end up trying to please the world. And that's where loss of faith and morals happens and has happened. Just look at what happens when people do not keep themselves unspotted from this world. I mentioned also that these 3 days of before Ascension Thursday are days of petition. And my dear brethren, we all know we are weak. Here we're told in the Epistle of St. James to be doers. And so often we fail. We don't measure up to what we know we need to be doing. But this is where the great doctrine of prayer comes in. To ask repeatedly, consistently, humbly, confidently. As St. Alphonsus Liguori says, God gives some grace to everybody, whether they ask for it or not. And by the way, it's never deserved. We can never deserve grace. It's a gift. And unasked, God gives us many graces, or at least some graces. But here's the point. St. Alphonsus said, that is not enough for you to save your soul. It will help, but it's not enough. Why? Because God wants to hear his children beg and ask for help. And this is how we get so many graces that we need for salvation and sanctification. Our Lord tells us to ask with confidence. The gospel of today is so beautiful. Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So there always has to be that implicit asking when we're praying to the Father. That implicit asking through Jesus's the name of Jesus. And this is why in the church we so often see in the Mass and other prayers, through our Lord Jesus Christ, or through the same our Lord Jesus Christ. But even if we don't mention it explicitly, we have to at least implicitly do that, because Jesus is our mediator with the Father. Ask that your joy may be full. St. Augustine says, whenever we ask, it needs to be something that will help towards our salvation. And this is why God has to say no very often, because people ask for things either knowingly, knowing that they're bad for them, or unknowingly, they don't realize it's going to be bad for them. And so God, because he loves us, has to say no. So whenever you ask for something, you might want to ask yourself, does this pertain to my salvation? Or am I asking only for something for this life that might harm me? Yes, we need many spiritual things above all, but we also need temporal things. Give us this day our daily bread, we say in the Our Father every day. God loves to hear us ask, and then he gives the grace. St. Augustine also says God also gives it at the suitable time. This is why it's not always given to us when we ask for. We have to persevere in prayer. An example of that is St. Rita of Cascia, whose feast is today. It's not something I can commemorate in the Mass because it's not a feast approved for at least our diocese. But she was a woman who was much given to prayer, and she encountered great frustration. She had a very difficult and abusive husband. And being the saint that she was, she chose to just bear with it. And I'm not in any way, I'm against all abuse, of course, but I'm just saying that in this case, she persevered in prayer, but it was after years of the frustration and waiting, finally he converted to a better life. And when her two sons died, she prayed that they not avenge their father's murder. They were taken from her. They died a natural death, but she prayed that because she was so afraid that they wanted to commit that, add sin to sin. But then she became that Augustinian nun that she had always wanted to be. And what a saint. She's one of the patrons of impossible cases. We have St. Jude and St. Rita's images there in the vestibule. They seem to come through when so many other petitions don't avail. So other gifts from God for the intentions, the prayers, the needs that we have. So anyway, I just wanted to share with you again today these wonderful messages, again from St. James. Don't just talk about it, do it. And pray much so that you can do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.